Today is a very special day. Today is another Sunday in our current series dealing with kingdom builders. Now, if you've been around New Life at all for any length of time, then you know that every single Sunday, we typically show a video from one of our kingdom builder partners, a missionary or a missions organization that is somewhere on planet Earth doing the work of Jesus, loving people in Jesus' name, showing kindness in Jesus' name, helping people that you and me will never meet until we get to heaven find Jesus, have their life transformed by Jesus. And it's so inspiring. It is so encouraging with the partners that we have around the world. I don't know about you, but I get inspired when I hear about one of our partners and one of those celebration videos of how your generosity is impacting their ministry and how your generosity is working through them to help more people find Jesus and see their lives change. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Anybody else encouraged by that every single week? Anybody? Anybody? Come on. Come on. So our kingdom builder giving here at New Life is above and beyond our tithe. Meaning this, that kingdom builder giving doesn't go into the general fund of the church that pays, you know, for the keep the lights on and mortgage bills and all that kind of stuff like, you know, your check does. This is above and beyond that. This is where we like to be generous. It starts in our backyard. We partner with, you know, ministries here in Nebraska, and we partner with people all over the earth. In fact, what we like to say is this, the sun never sets on our kingdom builder giving. Meaning this, that although you're sleeping, our generosity is at work somewhere on the planet where the sun is still up, bringing joy to people, bringing peace to people, helping people see their life change because of Jesus. All right, you're making dreams come true. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that one day somebody had a dream to build our North Platte campus, our Ogallala, our Kearney campus, right? Before you and me were ever here, people were dreaming those kind of dreams, and their generosity went above and beyond their tithe to make those dreams happen. Guess what you and me are doing? We're making those same dreams happen around the world. I don't know about you, but man, that puts a smile on my face. Come on, just feel the smile growing on your face. Right? Because it puts joy, the joy you feel right now is the joy that's coming from the heart of God. God is so thankful and so joyful that you are partnering with him to see his kingdom built here on planet Earth. Now, we do that, one of the ways we do that is through our finances. And so far this year of 2023, one church, multiple locations, guys, your generosity, you blow my mind away every year. Your generosity, you guys have given $373,000 so far so that we can fund and give those dollars to our Kingdom Builder partners so that they can make a difference in the lives of people. That's pretty encouraging. Amen? Come on. Come on. Yeah. At all campuses. Come on. Now you're going, yeah, but what's that other number? The other number, the 142,000. Here's what that represents. And I think that this is pretty cool. This is why I get excited about this every single November. That $142,000 is what we still have committed to fund that we haven't funded yet. And what we're doing is this. We're trusting God in November that next week when we receive the miracle offering, that your generosity and my generosity combined together will equal that $142,000 or exceed it so that we can write the checks in November and send them to all of our missions partners around the world so that they can keep doing what God's called them to do, and we get to partner with them. We get to join with them, guys. So here's the deal. I'm your pastor. I love you. I care about you. Please take this the right way. I want you to give above and beyond your tithe next week, and I want you to be as generous like you've never been generous before. I want you to put others first. I want you to put God first over yourself. I want you to dream a dream. I want you to dream about a number. I want you to have faith about a financial number that's going to stretch you. Okay, last year, Kim and I, we stepped up here and we told you right from this platform, we said, look, we're going to give $5,000 above and beyond all of our Kingdom Builder giving, all of our tithe. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're still praying about what we're going to do this year, but I'm just telling you, we're going to come big, okay? We're not going to go skimp. We're going to come big, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. And here's the reason why. Because I don't just want you to give. That's not it. That's not even my heart. Okay, just hear me right now. It's not even my heart. I don't want you to just give. Here's what I want for your life. All right, lean in with me for a minute. I want you to be a part of a miracle. Yeah, I want you this year to be able to say to yourself and to be able to say to others, holy cow, you're not going to believe this, but God did a miracle at New Life Church, and I was a part of the miracle. Guys, can I just say this to you, that when you give and you're a part of this miracle, it's going to bring joy to you. It's going to be an incredible joy. You guys know how the Bible says, look, it is better to give than to receive. You're going to feel that. You're going to feel that. So next week, we're going to take this miracle offering. Would you come generous? Okay, come generous. Here's what I want you to do. Get your phone out right now. If you got your phone. Okay, get your phone. Get your phone out. It's all good, all right? Just keep your ringer off. And what I want you to do is I want you to go into your Google Calendar really quick. And I just want you to, like, go in on Sunday, okay, and pick one of our service times at whatever campus you're going to be at. And in that service time, I just want you to put in there, right, attend church, okay, and then with a dash, bring a miracle offering, right? Just put it in there. And then set a reminder for yourself. Set a reminder so that you know that as a couple, you've prayed about it, you've talked to God about it, and you've got it all set up. If you want to set that reminder 3 days in advance so you don't forget about it this week, that's great. If you want to set it the day before, then do that. You might want to set two alarms so that you wake up and you're actually here, all right? But would you set an alarm? I just think, look, if something's important in my life, I put it in my calendar, because if it's in my calendar, I do it. And I'm just saying to you, I'm just recommending, maybe make a spiritual discipline to yourself. Put next Sunday in your calendars and put it in there that, God, we want to be a part of a miracle. So, guys, together, I think we're going to see this happen. It's going to be fantastic. One of our great Kingdom Builder partners is called Convoy of Hope. Say Convoy of Hope with me. Now, Convoy of Hope has many different facets to it. You're going to hear about that today through one of my friends. His name is Jason Struble, all right? He's actually Dr. Jason Struble. He was a pastor in the past. God also gave him the gifts and skills to be a scientist. He's an agronomist. Come on, the middle of Nebraska should know what an agronomist is, right? All right, and so he works with Convoy of Hope. He's the director of all things agriculture all around the world, internationally, guys, all around the world, helping to make sure that farmers are producing a higher yield than ever so that Convoy can actually take those products, turn them into meals, and feed kids right there in their own schools. That's just one of the reasons why they do it. There's a whole host of other reasons why they do it. Convoy is a massive arm of our compassion ministries, reaching out and meeting people in some of their greatest disasters, some of their greatest moments of need, and they meet them right there. They show them love. They show them kindness. They teach them Jesus, and they rescue them in so many fantastic ways. And Dr. Jason Struble is a very important person at Convoy of Hope, helping to make this dream happen. Guys, your giving partners with places like Convoy of Hope. So would you do something with me? Since he's both an ordained minister and an agronomist, we're just going to refer to him as Dr. Dirt, okay? Dr. Dirt from Convoy of Hope. So, guys, would you jump to your feet really quick? Put your hands together. Would you welcome my friend Dr. Dirt from Convoy of Hope? Come on.
Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome, bro.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Nebraska. You know, when you are traveling and you're doing things around the world, it is always fun to drive into an area and go, I smell ag, I smell gold, and then to be greeted by people who understand ag mechanics and ag engineering, veterinary medicine, soil science, agronomy, and I don't get that everywhere I go, so thank you for allowing me to be here to share a little bit about Convoy and share what we've been doing together. Thank you to Pastor Jeff and Kim. I've gotten to know them really for almost my entire career at Convoy. And Pastor Jeff reminded us this morning that we met in a field in Haiti. And so I just want to thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for partnering. My goal for this time together is to give you a little bit of an update and be able to give you a little bit of some of the stories that we together have done as a church. And I love that you are multiple sites, one church, and what we've done together to build the kingdom and to share Jesus all around the world. And I joke that because you got me, they don't always let me out. So when they do let me out, you never know what you're going to get. So we're going to talk about the different pieces and the different things that are there, but you just need to know. You don't know what you're going to get. And I will do my best to convey what God wants, but I'm going to tell stories, and some of them are always, sometimes they're inappropriate for the right audience to the wrong audience, but it's about life change and what God is doing and what you are doing as part of being a kingdom builder. And I thank you so much for it. I am Dr. Dirt, and part of the reason that they call me Dr. Dirt is, as you heard, I have a PhD. I actually have a PhD in soils, and Nebraska has an entire program that's like that says agronomy is not a dirty word, because in the crops and soils world, sometimes we argue over whether or not agronomy is a real degree, and the truth is I have a PhD in soils with a focus in soil fertility, which is agronomy from a soil science standpoint. And sorry about Nebraska's loss yesterday. That's right, we lost yesterday, we're tanking. But I love that. I have been married for 26 years to a lovely lady named Mary, and who tolerates all of this. And we have 6 kids. We have 3 biologicals that go from 23 to 16, and then we have 3 that will hopefully someday be ours, that we've had for about 5 years in our home that we get just to love on and hopefully forever. So they're great. They're crazy. All of my kids are crazy, and they're awesome. And they tolerate what is the weirdness of their dad, Dr. Dirt. But it's all because God had a plan. And he's orchestrated all of these different things to bring me here today on what that means for agriculture, what that means for Convoy, and what that means for changed lives. So if we talk about Convoy, I always like to just give us a little bit of a reminder of how Convoy started. We're going on 29 years, we're going on our 30th year starting next year, but really our Convoy started out of tragedy. So our founder, Hal Donaldson, who is still in the house. I actually was able to give him a tour the other day at the Center for Agriculture and Food Security. And he's still in the house. He's still overseeing pieces of leadership. But it was out of his family tragedy that Convoy really started. His mom and dad were pastoring in California. They were going off to a church meeting. They left the 4 kids with a babysitter. A couple hours later, the police come knocking on the door and say, your mom and dad were involved in a tragic accident. Your dad has been killed and your mom has been critically injured. And the police were standing on the doorstep saying, who will take the kids for the night? And if no one says yes, we'll take them down to the station and CPS will take over. A couple said, we'll take them. They had 5 kids, 3 kids of their own. And what they thought was probably short term ended up being over a year living in a single wide trailer with 10 people rotating beds and living off of the generosity of others and food stamps so that the Donaldson family and their mom could recover. Hal will tell you that when you grow up in poverty, living off of the generosity of others and the shame of food stamps at the time, that your entire goal in life is to get out of poverty. And so for him, education was that. He was a journalist. He's a masterful writer. And he pursued those career options. There's pictures of him, with like Dan Rather and Ted Koppel, giants of the day. And that's the realm that he was in. He had the opportunity to write a book and interview some great missionaries in Calcutta, India, and they said, we want you to interview somebody. And so they walked into a room and they introduced him to Mother Teresa. As he's interviewing Mother Teresa in a very intimate setting, she looked at him and said, young man, what are you doing for the poor and the suffering? He will tell you, you don't lie to Mother Teresa. And he said, not much. She said, everybody can do something. Do the next kind thing in front of you. And that rocked Hal's world. He was a great man of faith and loved Jesus with all of his heart, but this just rocked who he was, and it took him back to those days as a kid in poverty and to where he was now, and God actually stirred his heart, and he actually spent 3 days in 8 urban cities around the United States, and as he was spending these nights in these cities, he would ride with the police, he would hang out with the prostitutes, and on all of, like on Skid Row, and God just continued to break his heart for the poor and the suffering in America, around the world. And he went home after that trip, and he drained his savings that had $341 in it, and he bought groceries, put them in the back of a pickup truck, and delivered food to migrant workers who were out working on the farms. And that was the official beginning of Convoy of Hope. And from that moment to now, we've been able to serve, as of last year, over 200 million people around the world with goods and services and the hope of Christ. Yeah. Which to me is absolutely mind-boggling, and you were part of that. Over $2 billion worth of material has gone in and out of our warehouse in Springfield, Missouri, to go all around the world. And so how do we make that happen? How do 200 million people get impacted, and what does that look like? Well, for us, it happens all around the world, and it is all about serving communities, serving people with the love of Christ, but in a way that allows us to amplify and work through the local church. Because love it or leave it, the church is what Jesus said you should build, because it is his representation here on earth. So that's why the signs that say, "Jesus, protect me from your followers," those are the things we don't want to see. We want to be the kingdom that Jesus wants to. And so Convoy goes in working with the local church to help them be the church that God has left. And we do that in a way that builds the community, builds the church, so Convoy can just slowly walk away and go out of frame, and the church and Jesus is left behind. Around the world, we do that in three major ways. We do it in agriculture, children's feeding, and women's empowerment. And because you have me today, you're going to get agriculture at the beginning, and you're going to get agriculture and Jesus at the end. Because I'm the dirt guy. And so I'm just going to break those down. And as I was thinking about what it is, and I was asking God, what? I've been with Convoy for 12 and a half years, and it just kept coming back to, what are the stories of change that you have been a part of and that I've been a part of that keeps me knowing that God's doing amazing things and they keep me at Convoy? And that is what we're going to talk about. Agriculture. Agriculture makes the world go round. And as Cornhuskers and corn in the background, you know that better than anybody else. Food is complicated. He or she who owns the food owns the people. So we go into a community, find out what is keeping food from being on the table today, tomorrow, and for generations, whether it's soil health, knowledge, or mechanization and food processing so we don't have waste or marketability. We put those pieces together to work with moms, kids, and traditional farmers to increase yield, increase nutrition, and increase sustainability from really the soil up. When I think about the story that will always be the foundation that keeps me moving back and staying at Convoy. When we moved and came into Haiti for one of the very first times, we walked into a community that was trying to grow 27 different crops on a soil and an ecosystem that could really only support 5. We started through a process of education, working through the local church, working with them, being an extension agent, being able to wind them down, get them into good soil health, get them into good crop management, variety selection, animal husbandry. One day we were sitting there and we were diagnosing the problem, and all of a sudden God's like, "Yeah, you know what it is." And we diagnosed a virus. We were introduced through several government agencies around the world to be able to introduce virus-resistant seed. It started to change the entire community. And about 5 years ago, Haiti was less disrupted than it is now, I asked our agronomy team, I said, "Please just explain to me the impact of agriculture on this community in life." And they said, "Well, we've been able to train 1,825 farmers. I go, "Great," as I'm looking over a place that used to be barren, and now from hill to valley, all I see is lush green. And I'm like, "No, tell me the impact." They're like, "Yes, we've trained 825 people." I go, "Tell me with the impact." I said, "Of those 1,825, how many have they taught?" "Well, they've all taught, their family, their friends, their neighbors." I'm like, "Okay, how many farmers in the area have adopted the methodologies that we've been talking about in the seed and the virus resistant in the integrated pest management?" And they go, "Well, everybody." And I go, "Well, what's the school doing?" "Oh, the school is busting at the seams, and all the school fees are being paid by the farmers and the family because they've been able to increase their yields." I said, well, what about the market? They're like, oh, you mean the market that no longer used to, it didn't exist? Now there's animals, there's fruits, there's vegetables, and hundreds of vendors from all over the valley are coming, and they're no longer having to walk 7 hours to Port-au-Prince or catch a bus. No, this is the hub. And I said, well, what about the local church? They're like, oh, hundreds of people have come to Christ, and they're building on, and the church is growing. And I said, so what's the impact of agriculture? They said, well, we can't count that. That's thousands and thousands and tens of thousands in the communities. That will always keep me coming back. And what you need to know, and when crops are grown all around the world, or I tell somebody about the marvels of soil ecology, you were there. Children's feeding. We go into a community, and our entry point is the local school, to be able to feed kids in school and give them a healthy, nutritious meal during the school day and rations on many locations for the weekend for their entire family. Because if we can give kids nutrition in school, they stay in school. And if they stay in school, they learn more. That increases their economy. It gives them the resources that they need and the opportunity of what education affords. It also, we allow us, they work with us and government officials to do deworming, clean and safe water, and making sure that those meals are nutritious. Ag, women, children's feeding. What keeps me coming back? This story. This is not a story that I can tell in every audience. This is the kind of story that gets me in trouble and not invited back. If you go into a community and you have dirty water, you don't have nutritious food, things don't work the way they're supposed to here. Worms take over the food that has been there. Generally, stools, the medical term for stools, not the seat, aren't solid. And I'll never forget sitting in a school in Haiti, and all of a sudden you smell it. A kid in the classroom has flatulated. We've all been there. Elementary school, North Platte, it's in the room, you can smell it. All the kids started laughing. Because it's never not funny when you're a bunch of boys. And I'm like, all right, I can tell. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what happened? And some kid goes, I convoyed. Because you see, when you're normal, is a dissective tract that is messed up. You go to the nurse's office the first time you have a solid stool. And when your digestive system works the way that God created, you start to pass air. I will never forget living and being in that room and watching a kid laugh out loud because they passed air, and it's some of the first time in their lives that their digestive tract was working the way that it was supposed to. I convoyed. That's what keeps me coming back. And when a child is no longer starving, you are there. We also work with women because we know that women make the world go around, with women and girls. So we then work with women who have been underserved and are at the worst place of society, culturally. And we elevate them. We elevate them with social skills, with self-efficacy, with health and nutrition and agricultural training. But a lot of times it's also entrepreneurship, helping them to be able to thrive in business and elevate their families out of the depths of poverty. We also work with girls in our girl empowerment program and our girl initiatives to be able to take them to a place where they know before they get there, they don't have to marry young, that they are worth more than cows. And so together, that in part of our, that's our women's empowerment program. They call me Dr. Dirt. I spread 30,000 gallons of liquid cow manure for my PhD. Some people had another name for me. It'll take you a minute. The branch campuses will get this. But as I go around the world, I always take a picture standing next to a manure pile because manure is gold. It's awesome for soil fertility, and we all need it. And I'll never forget, I'm standing next to a manure pile in Ethiopia getting my picture taken, and I watched a 50-ish-year-old woman walk in front of me. And again, this is why you don't always get to have me back. She walks in front of me, and as she's walking in front of me, she stops, she pauses, she lifts up her skirt, she continues to use the restroom, and it jetted about 3 feet. She lowered her skirt and she walked off as if nothing was out of the ordinary, and it happened. Again, that was her norm. I saw that, and it's burned in my memory forever. But then I also had the opportunity to just walk a couple blocks down to the road to where there was a woman in our women's empowerment program who had started her own business. And she had started her own business, and she was working with Injera, and then she branched out and created other menu items with fresh vegetables and things inside that were native to Ethiopia. And she had a niche, she had refrigeration. And I had the opportunity to go back about 3 years in a row to that same store. Just two blocks difference from a woman whose norm was to think that it was okay and it was just normal to open defecate, and it was unhealthy. And then I see a woman who was in our women's empowerment program that after 3 years was making $30,000 to $40,000 US, and she was employing up to five different women in her community, and she was branching out, and she was diversifying, and she was watching the markets. And when the market started to shift, she had the tools in her toolbox to be able to automatically shift on a dime to save her profit and to be able to hire new women. And each one of those women were feeding kids and hurt their kids and their school fees, and they had the solid meals that they had. And what was the norm was no longer the norm for that one, that fam, those women, those girls, and those families. When women and girls no longer have to sell themselves, you are there. Children's feeding, women's empowerment, and agriculture, all intertwined with the local church and spiritual development, is what we are main pieces around the international side. In the United States, we do things like community events. A community event is what we would like to say is a massive gathering in a community to serve the underserved. And because Convoy believes in the Big K kingdom, we'll play with the AG, the Assemblies of God, we'll play with the Methodist, we'll play with all the different faith-based communities, but we'll also work with the government and Veterans Affairs and all the different groups, and we come together to create an atmosphere of hope for the underserved. They come in, they get groceries and haircuts and shoes and backpacks, there's inflatables, there's concerts, and a place where those who are in the most vulnerable spots for just a moment can feel loved and hope and a guest of honor. And it's all connected then back to the local church. I'll never forget, my family was serving at one of these community events. We're serving at the community events, and a lady comes up, and she's got groceries in her hand, and she's like, I can't believe this was all free, and she walks out. Another lady came up, and she goes, I didn't know what we were going to do. My cupboards were bare, and someone knocked on the door and handed me a flyer and reminded me that there was something going on at the fairgrounds. You reconnected my faith because God was taking care of me. A bag of groceries in the United States reconnects people to their faith and gives them the glimmer of hope that they need. You were there. In rural initiatives, we basically go and do really a little bit of everything that Convoy does in the rural setting. But a lot of times it's just giving life and breath to a local rural pastor. I pastored in Acme, Washington, 435 people. Was 413. If you were out in the middle of nowhere and you're struggling, Convoy comes alongside you and encourages you as a pastor, and just encourages you, helps you, come alongside you, gives you a little break, or be able to then bring supplies and goods so that you can reach your community and help you pastor and be the community connection that the local church should be. I remember, again, what brings me coming back. I was sitting in a pastor in a rural community in, like, Iowa. He just started crying. I'm like, hi. He's like, when I wanted to give up, Convoy came and said, can I help you with backpacks for the school? Can I help you with shoes in the school? Can I help you with Gatorade to give to your police department? And he goes, and I did things that I never thought I could do because of the capacity of my smaller church. You gave me life, you gave me vision, and I stayed in ministry for another, well, he was still in ministry, but he said, I stayed in ministry for another 5 years now. And you were there. And then disaster. I don't need to explain disaster. Convoy is one of the best. But why? This last year I was in Europe and I'm sitting in an elevator and had Convoy on, and they're like, you're Convoy. Oh, dang. I left my name on. I'm like, yeah, I'm Convoy. What do you know? Once again, he starts to cry. He goes, we were stuck in a hurricane. He goes, no one came to our community, but Convoy was there. They partnered with a local church. They came when nobody else would, and they stayed longer than anybody else did. And you reinvigorated my strength, my hope, and I came back to Christ because you were there when nobody else was. And I can tell you, before any disaster ever hits, you are there. You were there, you are there, and when communities are restored and Jesus is proclaimed, you are there. Whether you are giving to Convoy or other ministries, we are all building the kingdom. Because it is important to understand, and Colossians spells it out so well, and I've been ruminating over this the last 2 months, and the fact that you know what the word ruminate means just makes me happy. But as I've been ruminating over Colossians, and it's this idea that Christ is the head and Christ is it. That's why we do all these things. That's why we build the kingdom. Because Christ is overall. Christ is all. Christ came that we may have life. Christ came and he blotted out our sins, even the ones that we don't want to tell anybody about. And he blots them out. And there is a community all around the world and in the United States who is riddled knowing and thinking that there are things that are more powerful than them. Whether it is an addiction, whether it's a witch doctor, whatever it is, there are things in people's lives where they say, I cannot conquer, and there's nothing bigger. But God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and I am the biggest and the most powerful thing there. And there's others that are living in guilt. And they just can't get over the past. Or they just can't get over what I did. And they're rattled in guilt. And it is Christ who comes in and goes, I don't care what you feel and what you've done. It is gone. Take away the guilt. I own it and I nailed it to the cross. You are a new creation. And there's those around the world who are just riddled with shame. And they live in cultures where you cannot dishonor. And because of their guilt, they walk with their shoulders low and they think that there's nothing left in them and that no one wants them. And God says, no. I blotted it out. I nailed it to the cross. There is no guilt. And you do not need to be riddled in shame because I can take you and I put you in a place of honor and say that you are sons and daughters of the living King. And that's why we do it. That's why we take and we build agriculture into a community in Nepal. Because in the end, they tell us that agriculture, animal and plant, transformed that community with agriculture. They sold over $400,000 worth of just tomatoes last season. Their goat industry has thrived because we brought in meat goats instead of scrawny goats. A place where I couldn't have tea because there was no tea, now has a thriving tea industry. And the government tells us that the struggling church just built a 450-seat sanctuary, debt-free. In a community that was riddled with drugs and alcohol, there is no more drunkenness and alcohol in the community, and this is what the government's telling us. And they tell us that even the Buddhists no longer use alcohol in their ceremonies because they've followed the way of Christ. He is the beginning, he is the end, he is everything. And whenever we are doing those things, whenever we are doing those things and we are giving together, we are building the kingdom and we are elevating Christ. Because where does hope come from? It comes from Christ. You're there. We're in it together. And I just have the opportunity to introduce Christ in a way that incorporates manure and Jesus. So thank you for believing in the big K kingdom. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are the Christ. We thank you that you were able to take away guilt and shame, and that there is no power on earth that is greater than you. Help us all to realize that and understand that. God, thank you for generous people who will partner to reach the world for you. God, thank you for vets. Thank you for agronomists. Thank you for every talent and ability that is in this room that has the opportunity to do the great and the next kind thing in front of them. God, work in our hearts to serve you, to serve the kingdom the best way we can. In Jesus' name, amen.